Most of you are familiar with the ministry of the Voice of the Martyrs, and this morning is a special time that they have produced the video that we're about to see. I feel that our church has a very special connection with Richard Wurmbrand and his ministry. Richard Wurmbrand was a Lutheran pastor who was actually born Jewish, and all of his wife's relatives were killed by the Nazis, and many of his were. And then after the Nazis lost, then the communists took over his country of Romania. And we have one of our very own, Amy Cato and her husband David, are in Romania laboring in that same field. And so it's just with great joy that we do this little vignette about Richard Wurmbrand, who is known throughout Romania as a wonderful man of God, is highly regarded, not just by us, but also by that country. So Nate Tate will start the video. Let's pray. Oh God. Thank you for your strength and your power to love our enemies and those who hurt us. May this church today be a place where prayers ascend to your throne, prayers that make a difference in the lives of those who are persecuted and those who are hurting them. Lord, may this day be a prayer to you. We love and adore you, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I wonder if all of my helpers could come forward. I've got several people who will be holding a couple of my maps. And so I've got, here's a map holder, and here's a map holder. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. I love the Word of God. I am so thankful, first of all, that I was born in a country where women are allowed to go to school and to read, and that I love to read. God gave me a love for reading. And the Bible is the favorite, most wonderful book in the whole wide world to ever read. So there is a problem. When I was in my 20s, I decided I was going to read through the Bible every year. And by God's grace and mercy and conviction and joy, I have read through the Bible every year for about 40 years. But as I've read through my Bible, there's many times I just skip over great sections, the genealogies, and people's names. But I really felt unto the Lord that I should read Colossians 4. In Colossians 4, Paul is in prison. I need a Kleenex. Could someone do that for me? Paul was in prison. I went to thank you, Cheryl. You're wonderful. I went to the hardware store this morning and bought this 2 feet of chain. It's $1.40 a chain, so $2.80 right here. And I'm going to pass it around. Most of the time we use it for dogs. But Paul, I started circling all the times in the Bible where he said, "Remember me, I'm in chains." I encourage you to do that, all the places where it talks about chains. My brother's a retired police officer. This is a police baton. When you have criminals who are not cooperating, you are allowed by law to use this. This is one of the things that they did to Richard Wurmbrand when they beat the bottoms of his feet. In the mid-1970s, I met Richard Wurmbrand. He came to the church I was attending, And whenever he preached, he never stood up like I am. He always sat in a chair because of this and what they did to his feet. It was just too painful to stand up and walk. So if you'd pass those instruments of discipline, torture, around while I'm reading. I'm going to start at Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in, everybody say it, chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, these are the guys I used to skip over, kind of genealogies and names. But over here, these are the people. I'm going to introduce you to them. They were with Paul. And when Paul was in prison, he mentions their names in his letter. Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. He's going to tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Tychicus, where are you? You come forward. Tychicus is going to pray, and the young people that had the 10 ways to pray from the persecuted church, if the young people that separated all those out, if you would pass those around, just go up and down the, who has those? Ethan? Anyway, while Tychicus is praying, you will receive one of these little 10 ways to pray for the persecuted church. A lot of times we don't know how to pray. We have never faced what we saw in this movie. We've never even hardly met people who have faced it. So Voice of the Martyrs has come out with a beautiful laminated piece of paper that we can keep in our Bibles to help us pray, because he does command it. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. It's not a suggestion, and if we're not doing it, we're being disobedient. Okay, Tychicus.
We thank you, Lord, that you indwell our lives. May we hold fast firmly to our faith when persecuted, when ridiculed. May you keep us in your love and in the grace which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. As the little bookmarks are passed out, the first one to pray is sense, that they will sense God's presence. You know, when we're really depressed and needing a touch from God, if we just know he's near. So pray that. Number two, let's see. In verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Isn't it good to hear from people? We love to hear from them. Okay. Number two, who is Onesimus? When you're coming up, come on up. And we'll have number three in the wings. Okay.
Lord, thank you for your body. Thank you that it does have many parts, that there is only one body throughout the whole earth, Lord, and that you will assemble at the right time together in heaven. Thank you for that, Lord, for the day coming when we will all be together. And Lord, for those who are imprisoned in cells by themselves, separated from other Christians, from family, from human faces. Lord, I pray that they will know that they are not forgotten, that they are noticed. We feel, Lord, we're in the same body. We feel what they are going through, and that they will know, Lord, by the connection of your Holy Spirit who binds us all, that they will know that they are being prayed for.
Thank you. Onesimus was a runaway slave that got saved, and Paul met him and knew him and sent him back to his owner, Philemon. So I really like Onesimus. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Aristarchus is going to pray for the fourth thing on your list.
God, you are a sovereign Lord over all the earth and over your people. And you are the heavenly Father who knows us, who cares about each one of your creatures, but especially your children in Christ. I pray for the church, the persecuted church, prisoners, those who have lost possessions, houses, jobs, family members who are suffering because of our Lord. And I pray that you, God of all comfort, would comfort them deeply in their souls, in their hearts, with the knowledge that you are a treasure worth losing everything else for. And I pray that you would give them a comfort with which to comfort others. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And so Aristarchus was there in prison with Paul. And then he says in verse 10 again, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him.
And Father God, we just pray for the people that are in prison or persecuted for your name, and that they would have opportunities to share your love with other people and to love their enemies and share how good you are with everybody that they interact with. Amen.
Thank you. So you may know that John Mark and Paul had a big argument. And early on in their ministry, Paul didn't want anything to do with John Mark. And he said, you go your way, you go with Barnabas, and I'm going with Silas. And so by the time he wrote Colossians, they had made up. Isn't that good? We can make up in the body of Christ. When we get in an argument and our leadership doesn't agree and we don't agree with our leadership, whatever's going on, God can do something in our hearts to make us love each other again. Verse 11, and Justice, who is called Jesus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me.
Lord, we just pray for those that are in the persecuted church around the world, for boldness, for them to speak the truth about Christ. And I pray that same thing for other Christians all over the world that may not face that same kind of persecution that we saw in this film. But let us be bold to share Christ and tell others about his salvation in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Epaphras, oh, I like him too, who is one of you, a bondservant, that's a slave of Christ, greets you always, I love this verse, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. A lot of scholars think Epaphras started the church in Colossians. So he prayed for his people so often. He just loved them and prayed for them. So I encourage you, pray fervently.
Lord Jesus, to love and forgive our enemies seems impossible. It is impossible, humanly speaking. I cannot imagine forgiving those who would beat me, like we saw in this video. And we know that's happening in the world today. And your instruction is still the same. Lord, give grace. Somehow help our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted in so many ways to see you more clearly. I need to see you so I can love and forgive. They need to see you more clearly, your love, your forgiveness, what you did on the cross for each of us. Lord, make that clearer than ever so they can love and forgive. And we know your Spirit will use that to transform many of their persecutors. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask you to do that supernatural thing.
Amen. Verse 13, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, come forward, please. The beloved physician, and Demas, you can come too, greet you. Luke, of course, wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so Paul is saying, they're saying hi.
Yes. Lord, you have directed us to obey the governing authorities. And in our family, where there is persecution, there is a hard decision to go against the rule of law. Lord, we pray for wisdom, your wisdom, in the interactions of Christians with the authorities, with their families, with others, and in their interactions to share the gospel, to believe and live and trust you as a Christian in oppressive societies.
Demas at this point was a really good friend of Paul's, but we'll read in another place that Demas left Paul, and Paul said he loved the world. So when I asked Dale if he'd be Demas, he really didn't want to be Demas.
That's true. I want to be found a faithful follower of Christ. Demas did for 6 years follow Christ, but then he did, out of fear, or various reasons, he fell away. So we're praying for love and faithfulness for the persecuted church. And I was thinking in terms of along those lines, 1 Peter 5:8-9, which says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So yes, Lord Jesus, we do lift up to you the persecuted church, that knowing that anyone who follows Christ has that possibility of facing some fashion of persecution in our life. So Lord, we pray for the body of believers all throughout the world, that they would remain faithful in their suffering, Christ Jesus, and continue loving and you and following you in faithfulness. Amen.
Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his or her house. There is debate in the Greek whether that's a feminine or a masculine. So today, Nympha is the girl that meets in her house.
Father God, I watched that video and I know I've never experienced torture like that or pain like that. Father, we, in our limited understanding, want to think that you want the things we want. So, Lord, I pray for maturity, for your power to understand or to not understand what is going on, that you would help us to trust in you fully, that our lives would be grounded in you, not in knowledge or in our understanding. Father, give us the maturity to deal with suffering, to grow in you, to love each other even though we may be hurt or wounded by their actions. Father God, I pray for peace, but most of all that we would grow ever deeper and more in love with you.
Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's powerful. It's how we come to know who you are and your love for us and for men. And so I pray that we would daily open it up and open ourselves up to it and mine it for all the treasure that is in there, so that we can know the God that we serve and love and put aside our comfort zones to love the lost and to suffer for your sake. And I pray for all your children who are suffering right now, that they would hold on to the truth that they have. If they have a Bible, that they would be in it every day, and if they do not, that they would recall with your help all the truths and promises that are in there, and that they would fix their eyes not on their present circumstances, but on your promises and your kindness and the cross, and be strengthened, O Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you. And then Paul says, this salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Real quick, this is a prayer map. It shows the green ones and the yellow ones. This is mainly the 1040 window where Christians are being persecuted. Here's the one that's called 10 Ways to Pray for Our Persecuted Family. That's what you all should have on a little prayer reminder card. And I just encourage you to pray. And if you want to get together with me or just pray on the phone or have a burden to do so, let me know. I'd love to get together with you.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, gentlemen, for praying. Appreciate that. And Tabby, yes. Controversial Tabby. Are you a man or a woman? So, I love to give Linda the opportunity to share. She's been an area representative for the Voice of the Martyrs for 15 years. I never know how long she's going to take, so I have a shortened version and a long version, so we're going to do the shortened version. So bear with me. I'll probably go pretty quick, and I can talk quickly when I want to, so I'm going to. So the main theme today that I want to get across is a passage in Matthew 10:28, where the Lord says, do not fear those that can take your life in this world, but fear God, fear the Lord who has the authority to determine where your soul will spend all of eternity. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to show some pictures real quickly. Nate will slide through these of some of the devastation. And don't worry, you do not need an eye appointment. When I expanded these slides off the internet, they get a little blurry. So these are pictures of two cities in Syria, Homs and Aleppo. They're intermingled, kind of the before and after of the situation. But if you realize just how devastated Syria was by ISIS and through the war, it's amazing. There's no water. the first picture had any green, and it's just amazing how devastated things were. And we think we have problems, right? So this is just one nation out of the entire world that has really suffered as a result of the ISIS influence in that country. So as far as some statistics go, next slide, Nate. The Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, along with the Center for Studies of New Religions based in Turin, Italy, estimate that approximately 90,000 Christians were killed in 2016. This figure is actually down from 105,000 in 2015, And one-third of these deaths are attributed to ISIS. Others were due to civil wars in Africa. In addition, they estimate that as many as 600 million Christians worldwide were prevented from practicing their faith, at least in some measure or form. Another ministry, Open Doors, who only counts martyrs if they can verify a name and location, totaled 7,000 Christian deaths in 2016. So by their own admission, they do admit that the overall deaths were probably and actually much higher than that, but they're very conservative in their estimate. So somewhere between 7,000 and 90,000 Christians were martyred in 2016. So if the 90,000 figure were true, that would mean that approximately every 6 minutes a Christian is dying for their faith somewhere in the world. Next slide. In regard to displaced people, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, UNHCR, reported last summer that they did a study, and in that study at the end of 2015, they stated that 65.3 million people worldwide had been displaced from their homes. This breaks the record of displacement as a result of World War II. It set a new record, and it's the highest figure since World War II. And this figure is broken down as follows. 22.5 million are refugees actually shipped to another country or went to another country. 40.3 million are internally displaced. 2.8 million are seeking asylum. And tragically, more than half of the 65 million are minors. Recent headlines, these headlines all come from a group called International Christian Concern. They monitor Washington, D.C. As well for different articles and different events. And as you can see, the first three were all 2 days ago. Fulani militants murdered 9 Christians in Plateau, Nigeria. I was just in Washington, D.C. on business last week, and I met a born-again believer from Nigeria. What a joy to speak with him, so full of the Holy Spirit. He goes out into the not-so-popular places of Washington, D.C. when he gets a chance around dinner time and tries to share the gospel right on the streets for 2 or 3 hours a night, and he tries to do that at least once a week. The second article, remains of 2 Chinese missionaries killed in Pakistan, returned to China. Another Christian human rights lawyer disappears after being recaptured by Chinese officials, friends beaten. And these are all articles that were on one day. And then remember the picture, John showed it here, the 20 to 22 Coptic Egyptian Christians that were beheaded. They were in the orange suits, and the picture made worldwide news. Well, this is an article that ICC learned that the families of the cops killed by ISIS in Libya are preparing to place their deceased loved ones that are currently at the Church of the Martyrs of Libya in our village, Egypt. They're going to bring them back to Egypt after they've received their bodies. So that still continues. The ramifications of that event continue to this day. But not all articles are negative. So if we can see that there's actually some breakthrough in Tunisia, which is 99% Muslim. Here's an interesting article that was published on November 3rd. I hadn't heard of this from our regular news, but ISIS's last Syrian stronghold falls, reducing trafficking routes between Syria and Iraq. The last major ISIS stronghold in Syria, Deir al-Zawar, has fallen. This means that in both Iraq and Syria, ISIS no longer controls any area of significance. That was news to me. Yes. And then also, something of interest, our own Governor Sam Brownback went before the Senate Member Committee for his confirmation hearing as the U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. I don't know if you know this, but many years ago, Senator Brownback spent a lot of energy trying to end the civil war in the Sudan. So he was nominated by President Trump in July for this position, and it still remains to be confirmed, as along with many others that are being stalled by our government for to get President Trump's appointees in for various positions. So if you have your Bible or your phone with a Bible app on it, please go ahead and go to Matthew 10, 22 through 31, and I'll go through 4 points very quickly. Bear with me. Thank you. Matthew 10, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples. And there's many different ways to break this chapter down. In light of the series that we've been doing here at this church on the hard sayings of Jesus, this certainly is another hard saying that we have here. And starting in verse 22, I will go ahead and read. I'm just picked a spot kind of in the middle, and we'll go from there. Verse 22, chapter 10. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, not a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. 4 quick points. First of all, verse 22, you will be hated for my name's sake. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all who live godly lives shall suffer persecution. So we shouldn't be surprised by it. If we share Jesus with others, there's going to be times when we will be scoffed at or mocked at or belittled because, oh, you believe in an actual God? How unscientific are you, for an example, or something like that. So don't be surprised by it. Don't be taken back by it. It is something that that is part of, if I can say, use this word, the normal Christian life. Also in 2 Timothy verses chapter 2, verse 3, that we are exhorted to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to participate in glorifying him before others and sharing his reality to others so that he can be glorified and so that others can be added to the kingdom. Verse 25, it is enough that a disciple is like his teacher, a servant like his master. I love this passage because it frees me from having to achieve. This says, it's enough that you're like me. Jesus is saying, hey, just be conformed to my image. Isn't that one of the goals of the Christian life, right? 1 John 3:2, we do not know, or it doesn't appear that we know what we shall be, but we do know this, that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:2-3. It's one of the goals of the Christian life. And Jesus says, you don't have to make a certain amount of money. You don't have to save a certain amount of people or help save. You don't have to have a certain size house. You don't have to do this or that. It is enough that a servant is like his master, that a disciple is like his teacher. It's enough that we are like him. Verse 28, do not fear those who can take your life on this planet, but fear the one who has control over your eternal destiny. So freeing again. I don't have to fear being scoffed. I don't have to fear being persecuted. Sure, it's very difficult, very painful, very tragic. But at the same time, it's not this life on this planet that is the major concern. It's where your soul will be for all of eternity. And to capture that love that Christ has for this world, yes, this fallen, messy world, to have that love in us that we would be willing to go out and be part of God's body of Christ that is that good soldier that is willing to care enough to share his good news with others. So don't fear man. And I'm speaking to myself when I say that. Don't fear man. He's not the one to be concerned about. But be a servant like your master. Be a disciple like your teacher. And finally, verse 31, you are of great value to God. And I don't have this on the slides, but I'm just going to run through a few things and we'll be done. He gave you his only begotten Son to die for you that you might live. For God so loved the world, and you're part of that world. God loves you as an individual, as well as the body of Christ. He gave you as a believer the Holy Spirit to comfort, to conform, and to enable you. He gave you the hope of everlasting life to be the anchor of your soul. No matter what happens in your circumstances, you know the end from the beginning. You know you are going to be conformed to his image. You know you are going to reside with him for all of eternity in heaven in a perfect place. Let that be the anchor of your soul. He gives you access to his presence daily to come to him, to relate, to fellowship, and to worship him and to pray to him. What a privilege. What a privilege that we can boldly approach the throne of God. This holy, mighty God and this messy person named Ken. And he's given me the privilege and the ability to enter his presence and to worship and adore him and give thanks and to pray. He gave you his word so you can know him and have wisdom and understanding and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He's given you that Bible to know the way. Thy word is a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet. I know which direction to go because he has given me the word and he has given me saints around me for counsel and wisdom to know how to follow him and to love him and to live in power and to fellowship with others. He ever lives to intercede for you. Can you imagine that? The sovereign God of the universe is praying and interceding for us on our behalf, and he ever lives to do it. He is going to keep that which you have committed to him and perfect it and complete it against that day of judgment. So whatever we give to him, Lord, we give you our lives, this messy life. Perfect it, Lord. And he promises us that he will do that. He has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This God has promised, as we believe in him and by faith trust him as our Lord and Savior, he comes to us and he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to change the rules on you. I am who I am. Come to me and let's communicate and relate. Give me all your anxiety. Share yourself with me. And I will change you into my image. This is the God that loves you, and that we have great hope in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of a messy world where governments are horrible, in the midst of people mistreating one another. We have this God. We have this hope, and we have this foundation that we can live our daily lives in. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that for some reason you have given us a measure of faith to believe in you and to be part of this kingdom. Your word in Ephesians declares that you have granted us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that we can live this life now in your power by your grace. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I'm so grateful for that. So Lord, be with us today as we think of those that are less fortunate than us in this world, those that have had their homes destroyed, their life literally uprooted, those that simply because they believe in you are persecuted, are tortured, and even are killed for their faith, Lord, may we unite with them in prayer, and may we really understand truly what it means to be a body, part of the body of Christ, that we unite our hearts to fear your name and to pray for one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.